Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, December 23rd, 2025. 2025 Christmas special.
Before we get started, we have a birthday today. That is one day before Christmas Eve and two days before Christmas. Frances, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday. Frances has been here longer than I've been here, and I've been here since Adam. But we are so blessed to have Frances Cox in our congregation. She has been a phenomenal, grace-oriented, positive believer, and we have all been blessed having Frances in our congregation. So happy birthday and Merry Christmas, but Merry Christmas for you every single day, 365 days a year. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We are in the 2026 version of the Christmas special, or 2025, we're not quite to 2020, 2025 version of the Christmas special. And I've already had people come up and say, I'm going into areas I've never gone into and deeper. And in Matthew chapter 2, I've already had many people say, I didn't know anything about Matthew 2:23 and the prophet that he was a Nazarene, but there's no prophet that said he was a Nazarene. And what did that mean? So I took you in to learn what that meant. And so that's what we're going to do in this Christmas special. We're going to different parts, we're going to go into a deeper level. We've been up here at the top. We're going to go down here, say, in several different areas. So, Matthew chapter 1, I have you turn to. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that gift, it's possible for the one who believes in Jesus Christ to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, to have Christmas every single day. 365 days a year. That is how wonderful and magnificent your grace plan is for each one of the royal family of God. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We got a great update from Jim Myers, the James F. Myers Ministries, sharing the Word of God with the people of the Ukraine. The thing is, he's sharing the Word of God with people all over the world. And the update is really fantastic. He says, "Dear friends, may this holiday season be a time of blessing for you as we reflect on the unsearchable riches of God's grace. God sent His Son into the world for the very purpose of providing eternal salvation through His death on the cross, which was the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are to give testimony to this indescribable gift, both at home and abroad. This has been another amazing year of ministry, having the privilege of teaching the Word of God in Europe, Africa, Brazil, the Philippines, French Polynesia, and in numerous churches in the United States. We have been blessed with health and strength to be able to keep on keeping on. We praise God for His mercy and abundant provision. We are both," that's Jim and Phyllis, his wife, "we are both in our 9th decade of life, but take delight in Psalm 92, especially the last 4 verses. Verse 12 says, 'The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.' Verse 13, 'Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.' Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Verse 15, "To declare that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." So, we look forward to 2026, anticipating that we shall still bear fruit in old age. With this in mind, we have several ministry trips planned. In January, I will go to Poland, Romania, and the Ukraine. In March, we will return to Brazil, and then to Zambia and Mozambique in May. Although it isn't on the calendar yet, we hope to return to Tahiti next year to teach at the Polynesia Bible Institute, which Mark Perkins has established in Tahiti. We are also talking with Dr. Ron Minton about the possibility of teaching a course in Estonia. We are so thankful for all of you who have prayed so diligently for us. Obviously, the Father has been pleased to answer your prayers, for we have been able to travel safely, and we have seen marvelous response to the teaching of the Word of God. One of the wonderful things about our longevity is that we have the joy of seeing fruit from the labors as many of those that we have trained over the years, they are now solidly established in their own ministries. And they are now faithfully proclaiming the gospel of grace and providing sound doctrinal teaching to their own people. May this next year be one of fruitful ministry for you as you bear witness to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace alone, Jim and Phyllis Myers. When Andy Todd was still living, we went on hunts together. We hunted in New Mexico, antelope, wild turkey. And he says, you know, there's Chafer Seminary has moved to Albuquerque, and these seminary students, they come to church once in a while, and they say to me, this is what they said to me. When are you old pastors going to stop and turn it over to us young guys? I said, did you shoot the son of a bitch? When are you old pastors going to quit and let some young guy come in? Well, real simple. When the Lord says, okay, you old guy, get up here. And someone else can take over. And that's what happened with Andy. Andy is in heaven right now. And first thing I do when I get there, we're going on a turkey hunt. We get up there. And there'll be a lot of turkeys, I'm sure. So I'm glad we don't have a seminary here and some arrogant young seminary student comes in here and, when are you old pastors going to quit? And I've told my deacons over and over again, when you think I have passed the point of no return, then you just take me and say, it's time to step down, Pastor Olson. And that happened, that happened with the colonel. The colonel had Alzheimer's disease, and he would be teaching along, and 1 hour would go by, and an hour and a half would go by, and 2 hours would go by, and finally someone had to come up and say, okay, I think we need to close in prayer and say amen. And his Alzheimer's had gone to the point where it was time for him to step down. And he had deacons and even his own son who said, it's time for you, Dad, to step down. And I always got a kick. He had Alzheimer's. He had some wonderful people taking care of him 24/7. And he was listening to Bible classes while he had the Alzheimer's. And he was listening to himself. And he was listening to himself on a class, and he goes, he turned to somebody, now, this guy, he's pretty good. He didn't know who it was, it was him, but he said, this guy, he's pretty good. So, and we have Dan and Pat Hill. Dan has been ministering in Africa. Both of them have been ministering in Africa and doing a phenomenal job there. Well, Pat has Alzheimer's. I'm sure you've seen it on our prayer list, and you're praying for her and praying for Dan. Pray for Pat that she will have the peace which transcends all human understanding, and have that inner happiness of soul. And it's got to be tough for Dan, too. Pray for Dan and when his wife is in this situation. She doesn't go to Africa anymore, but he is still ministering there, so pray for Dan. He's doing a phenomenal job there. So that's a part of, you never know what God planned. God has a plan for each one of our lives. And he has the perfect way for us to transfer from time to eternity. Perfect way. And I trust him in my own life 100%. Debbie trusts him 100%. We know he has the perfect plan for us to transfer from time to eternity. And we give him the honor and the glory, and we're looking forward to that day. But as far as I know, it won't be today. Oh, I was wrong. Maybe. All right. What is Christmas? What is Christmas? Yesterday we studied how the giving of gifts helps describe what Christmas is really all about. For on that very first Christmas, there was the giving of gifts. Magi from the east came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews, and they brought with them gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we studied that in Matthew chapter 2. The Magi were the first Gentiles who worshipped the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. The Christ child, Jesus Christ, the Messiah in hypostatic union. And they brought gifts to the King. Now we are the royal family of God. And you assemble in Upland Bible Church for the same reason, to worship the King. You assemble here to worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you also bring gifts. There's two gifts that you bring. Positive volition to God and His Word, and the gift of humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And then when you do that, you respond to the grace and truth of God's Word, grow up to maturity, and glorify Him to the maximum. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at Christmas we celebrate God's gift of love to the world, Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem. On that very first Christmas, Micah 5, verse 2. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. In fact, there is no miracle as great as the miracle of that first Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory, and then in genuine humility, he took on true humanity so that he could go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. Without his coming on that first Christmas, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, there the world has no hope. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and his salvation work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. Now we continue on with our 2025 Christmas special. Matthew chapter 1. We'll start at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, a man of virtue and honor and integrity, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And this is the prophet Isaiah. And he said this 700 years before that first Christmas. 700 years. Isaiah 7, verse 14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus, the name Jesus, is a transliteration of the Greek word Jesus. 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 Transliteration of the Greek word Jesus. It is the same as the Hebrew name Joshua, which looks like this in the Hebrew. That's why, well, come on. Y-E-S-H, long U-I-N-A. Yeshua. A couple of things on this. One, Yeshua comes from the Hebrew verb yasha. Y-A-S-H-A-I-N. So Yeshua comes from the Hebrew verb yasha, which means to rescue, to deliver, to save. To rescue, to deliver, to save. Now, Joshua was a great deliverer who led the nation Israel to great military victories over the Canaanites. But we have a greater deliverer than Joshua. We have Jesus. Point two. The greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. The greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. Three, he rescues and delivers the believer, the one who places his faith in Jesus Christ, in four great victories. Four great victories. He rescues and delivers the believer, the one who places his faith in Christ for eternal salvation, in four great victories. First of all, he has saved, delivered, or saved, provided eternal salvation for those who believe in him. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. He has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem by his work on the cross, Operation Grace. So first of all, he has saved, delivered, provided eternal salvation, eternal deliverance for those who simply believe in him. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, he has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem by Operation Grace, his work on the cross. Secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. We're living in the church age. The church age is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict because in the Old Testament, Satan's attack was on the line of Christ all throughout the Old Testament and then on Jesus Christ himself. But Jesus Christ, following his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now Satan's attack shifted to the body of Christ. Every single church age believer, the attack is on you and me, all members of the royal family of God. We're living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace provision, the grace gift of the unique spiritual life. The very first spiritual life was lived by Jesus Christ himself in his hypostatic union, the first advent on earth. And then he passed it on to us, the body of Christ, the royal family of God, for us to use to live. It's a grace gift so that we can, well, if we live that unique spiritual life, we will be delivered from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And then third, He will rescue and deliver one generation of church-age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. The conclusion of the church age, the rapture. So third, he will rescue and deliver one generation of church-age believers from the tribulation by means of the rapture. And then fourth, he will deliver all, he will provide us with a resurrection body. He will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever in eternity. The final victory, that is, he will deliver all believers from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. So fourth, he will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever in eternity. The final victory, that is, he will deliver all believers from eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know was prophesied 700 years before. 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it was prophesied by both Micah in Micah 5:2 and Isaiah, Isaiah 7, verse 14, and we looked at those passages yesterday. Now there's another great, great passage that was prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ, and that is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 is one of the greatest prophetic passages describing this greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the miracle Messiah in hypostatic union. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Says, for unto us a child is born. This is the causal conjunction ki plus the noun yelev plus the pu'al perfect of the verb yalev. So you see we have yelev, the noun, and yalev, the verb, plus the preposition lamed with the first person singular suffix. Now in Hebrew syntax, normally, the verb comes first, but in this verse, the noun comes first. The noun is yelev. Y-E-L-E-D. That's the noun, yelev. Yelev is the word child. So normally, in Hebrew syntax, the verb comes first, but not in our verse. In our verse, the noun yelev, or child, comes first. This places tremendous emphasis on the word child. So, one, God puts the spotlight on this very special and unique child. God puts the spotlight on this very special and unique child. Two, the eternal Son of God left heaven and left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity. The eternal Son of God left heaven and left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God, that's the deity of the second person of the Trinity, his deity, he was always eternal God. The eternal Son of God, the deity of Jesus Christ, left heaven, left glory through the incarnation and virgin birth, and took on for the first time true humanity. Three, there has never been a child like this child, and there will never be a child like him ever again. There has never been a child like this child, and there will never be a child like him ever again. So yelleth comes first, then the verb. The verb is yelleth. Notice it's the same radicals. Y-L-D, just different pointing. Y-A-L-A-D, Yalath. And in the cal stem, this verb means to bear or to bring forth and is a reference to childbirth. In the pu'al stem, and that's what we have, it means to be born. The perfect tense is very important here. The perfect tense is the prophetic perfect. Very important. Prophetic perfect. Which views a future event as being so certain that it is spoken of as having already occurred. That's the prophetic perfect. Views the future event as being so certain that it is spoken of as having already occurred. Isaiah speaks of the birth of Jesus Christ as though it had already occurred, and he spoke this 700 years before it took place. But he used the prophetic perfect. So Isaiah speaks of the birth of Christ as though it had already occurred, and he did so 700 years before it happened. And therefore, literally, this says, because a child has been born. Because a child has been born. One. The prophetic perfect emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The prophetic perfect emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. It emphasizes the historical nature of this unique birth. Two, the deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague, but something to be brought about by a birth in history upon this earth at a definite time, and in a definite place, and for a definite purpose, Operation Grace the Cross. And the pu'al stem is passive, and the passive voice is the voice of grace. The passive voice is the voice of grace. So point three, the birth of this child is a grace gift from God for the whole world. Because a child has been born unto us. And unto us is the preposition lama with the first person plural suffix. And that is for our benefit and advantage. Because a child has been born unto us for our interest and benefit, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God was for the whole world's interest and benefit. So a child is born. But this verse also goes on and says that a son is given. Unto us a son is given. And this is the noun ben plus the niphal perfect of the verb nathan plus the preposition lama with the first person plural suffix. Ben. B-E-N. Ben. And ben is the Hebrew word that means son. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is the eternal Son of God. And then the verb nathan. N-A-T-H-A-N. Nathan. And in the Cal stem, a nathan means to give or to provide. In the niphal stem, which is the passive of the Cal stem, and that's what we have in this verse, it means to be given. And it speaks of the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. Again, the perfect tense is the prophetic perfect, which views this future event as being so certain that it has already taken place. So Isaiah 9:6 says, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. This is so powerful. A verse, and one of the, in the Old Testament, key verse that teaches the doctrine of the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. Undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. It's not taught any clearer anywhere else in the Word of God than Isaiah 9, verse 6. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. One, the first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes three things. This is the first phrase. Because a child has been born for us. That first phrase emphasizes three things. First, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. The incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Two, the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah. The virgin conception and birth of the Messiah. And third, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first phrase. A child has been born for us, emphasizing the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, it also emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. The Messiah will be a son of David, and that demands true humanity. So turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, we'll start at verse 5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, that's God the Father, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, true humanity, son of David, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and righteous in the land. In his days, Judah will be delivered, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. Now you have the Lord our righteousness. Let me give you the Hebrew. There's the Tetragrammaton, Jehovah, and then we have so there's the Tetragrammaton, that's YHWH, and this is Tzidkenu, Jehovah. Tzidkenu. Whoop. That's not the... There we go. Jehovah Tzidkenu. And Jehovah Tzidkenu is Jehovah, our righteousness. That's the name. I will raise up to David a righteous branch. The Messiah will be a son of David. That demands true humanity. And the name by which you'll be called is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Turn over to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch, that's the Messiah, sprout from David's line, true humanity. He will do what is just and righteous in the land. In those days, Judah will be delivered, and Jerusalem will live in safety, and this is the name by which he will be called, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And that emphasizes his deity, Jehovah, the holiest name for the living and true God in the Old Testament scriptures. So there again you have the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So it also emphasizes the fact that Messiah will be a son of David. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Jeremiah 33, 15 and 16. 3. The second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes, 1, the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. It emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. And it emphasizes, secondly, the deity of Jesus Christ. A son has been given for us. So this is the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth, and emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. 4, It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. So, point five. So this child that is going to be born is the eternal Son of God. So this child that is going to be born, his true humanity, is the eternal Son of God, his deity. Six, thus together these phrases present the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Thus together these phrases present the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Seven, Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the miracle Messiah. He is the unique person of the universe. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the miracle Messiah. He is the unique person of the universe. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. This great prophetical passage in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, presents the hypostatic union of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a child has been born for us, true humanity of the Messiah, a son has been given for us, the undiminished deity of the Messiah. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the unique person of the universe. Now, I have never communicated to you in depth the doctrine of the hypostatic union. This is the time to do it. The doctrine of the hypostatic union. Point one is definition. The doctrine of the hypostatic union. Point one is definition. Subpoint one, in the person of the incarnate Christ are two natures, undiminished deity and true humanity. In the person of the incarnate Christ are two natures, undiminished deity and true humanity. Two, these two natures are inseparably united. These two natures are inseparably united without mixture or loss of separate identity. These two natures are inseparably united without mixture or loss of separate identity. Without loss or transfer of properties or attributes. Without loss or transfer of properties or attributes. The union being personal and eternal. So these two natures are inseparably united without mixture or loss of separate identity. without loss or transfer of properties or attributes, the union being personal and eternal. 3. From the time of the virgin birth and on forever, our Lord Jesus Christ has been and always will be undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever. From the time of the virgin birth and on forever, our Lord Jesus Christ has been and always will be undiminished deity and true humanity in one person forever. 4. The two natures of Christ maintain their complete identity, though being joined in personal union forever. The two natures of Christ maintain their complete identity, though being joined in personal union forever. 5. There is no mixture of the two natures. There is no mixture of the two natures. The human nature always remains the human nature, and the divine nature always remains the divine nature. There is no mixture of the two natures. 6. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the theanthropic person, the God-man. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, is the theanthropic person, the God-man. 7. The two natures are united without transfer of attributes. The two natures are united without transfer of attributes. It's impossible to transfer an attribute of one nature to the other nature without destroying that nature. A change of attributes involves a change of essence, and therefore there is no change in the essence of deity, and there is no change in the essence of the Messiah's true humanity. 8, and we'll stop here at sub point 8, the spotlight of the doctrine of the hypostatic union concerns the union of two natures, divine and human, in one hypostatic union, in one person. The spotlight of the doctrine of the hypostatic union concerns the union of two natures, deity and true humanity, in one hypostatic union, one person. All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you all, and hope you have a very wonderful Christmas Eve tomorrow and Christmas Day. But I would love to have you have something far, far greater. I would love to have every one of you have Christmas and enjoy Christmas truly, not just words, but truly enjoy Christmas every single day. Every single day. Not just December 25th, but every single day, 365 days a year. That's what our amazing God wants for each one of us. His plan is so powerful and so gracious and so magnificent that when you execute that plan, you will have Christmas every single day. So Merry Christmas to all of you, and I'll see you on Sunday. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.